Thank you, and good afternoon to everyone. Whose job is it anyway? This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Any. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, but he did what anyone could have done. You know, I think in the church, if we're not careful, this could be true of us as well. For example, whose job is it to change the culture of our church to one of service? Is it the ministers? Perhaps it's the servant leadership committee. Maybe it's the home offices. Well, today, what I'd like to do is take a look at four sections of scripture, ask a few questions, make a few notations, and a little exam along the way. The neat thing about today's message is that it applies to everyone here. Whether you be old or young, you're 4 years old, it would still apply to you. You might be married, you might be single. You might be ordained, you might be a lay member. There's no one in this room that this message would not apply to. So I'm hoping, kids, before you go out to Sabbath school, you might pay attention. All right, the first scripture we'd like to turn to is in John 13. And we'll begin in verse 12. Now, the context of this, you'll remember, is that this is Christ's last night with the disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had one night left to spend with my children, I would probably try to teach them something that I thought was absolutely critical, absolutely vital. It would be the most important thing I'd want to pass on to them. So let's see what Jesus Christ taught his disciples on that last night. In verse 12, we read, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he sat down again and said unto them, Know you what I've done to you? You call me Lord and Master, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, surely, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." He's making it real clear that they understand. He is the great Lord, and there's no possible way that they're greater than he is. And yet, he served. So there's no logical way to come to the conclusion that they shouldn't be spending their lives serving one another. Because that would be putting themselves above the Lord and Master. So let me ask you a question. If I washed Earl Ramsey's feet at Passover service, but all year long, never talked to him, never prayed about him, never helped him out, never sent him a word of encouragement, did I really wash his feet? I don't know if you can remember back this far, but Mr. Kylo came here and gave a sermon. Now, it's a sermon, so we can't go into all of that. But it was a brilliant sermon, and it was a perfect sermon for the in context of service. Now, if you will remember, he had just gone back to the home office and had presented a paper on servant leadership, and it had been ratified and okayed. Then he came up here to give a sermon, and he knew that we had had these discussions, we'd had meetings on creating servant leadership as a culture. And he, with that in knowledge, he gave the sermon, and there's a connection between his sermon and the foot washing service. I don't know how many might know what that is. But it has to do when he talks about having the ear pierced. Because that was a sign that that servant, was no longer going to do his own will, but simply do the will of the master. When we take part in the foot washing, that is a sign that we no longer going to do our will, but what the Lord and Master wants us to do, and he just told us what he wanted us to do. Wash one another's feet. Serve one another. So here's the question of the test. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it to Christ that we serve one another? You might write that down. Now, let's go to another scripture in Matthew 25. We're going to take a look into the future and see what happens. In Matthew 25, verse 31, we find this said. We're going to read a little bit here. "Then the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all of the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall say to the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous say to him, Lord, when did we see you a hungered and fed you, or thirsty, and gave you drink? Then when you saw the stranger and took me in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king shall say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then it goes on. This is interesting. Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and the angels. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and you did take care of me. In prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say, Lord, when did we do these things? When did we see you hungry and athirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not minister to you? Then shall he say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. So let's note a couple of things about this scripture. Both our actions and our non-actions affect our future. Those who do not serve end up in the exact same place like Satan and the demons. The focus here is on what we choose to do, not how we feel. The righteous did not have any titles, nor were they asked to perform these specific acts of service. Simply, opportunities existed, and we are judged, or they were judged, on what they did with those opportunities. There are no exceptions or variances given in this scripture for not serving. These are simple and practical ways that are things that we can do. We just have to get involved. So let me ask you another question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important to our future reward in eternal life is serving one another? We have a third scripture to look at. If you'll go to Romans 13, if you'll notice I use a lot of scriptures, because long ago I developed the policy of hiding behind the scriptures whenever I spoke publicly. So in Romans 13, verse 8, we find a much shorter context, but just as meaningful. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves one another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or summed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how connected is fulfilling the law to serving one another? The last scripture, let's look at 1 John 4:20. In 1 John 4:20, we find this simply stated. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how possibly can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God also loves his brother. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how closely tied are loving God and loving brethren? On a scale of 1 to 10, how important should serving be to us? On a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of servant am I currently? Uh-oh. If you're like me, I had a perfect string of tens until that one. But when I had to state what kind of servant am I currently, I couldn't write down a ten, that's for sure. So, that leaves us with a few things to consider. When we look at the weight of the scriptures we've just read, what will we let stand in the way of becoming godly servants? Will we let being too busy get in the way of becoming the servants we should be? How about hurt feelings of the past? Maybe we lack the skill or talent or confidence to really get in, you know, because that job would be better done by this guy over here. He's a lot more talented than I am. How about lack of being on a committee? I'm not on a committee. I'm not in a group. I don't have an official job, so really, I can't be involved with serving. How about age? Think you're too young? You know, I heard about just a couple of weeks ago, there was a little girl, 4 years old, Sonia. She was setting up chairs, and she didn't want help. She wanted to just be part of it like everyone else. Didn't seem like serving was too hard for her, and she's only four. You know, there's prayer. There's all sorts of things we can do to get involved. So really, should anything stop us from immediately getting involved and really developing the servant's heart? Fundamentally, there are two ways of life. You've often heard Ms. Armstrong talk about the give way and the take way. You can share, you can keep. Remember, Christ came to serve and not be served. Do we come to church to serve or to be served? The truth is we have an important job to do with the congregation, namely to change the culture of this congregation to one of service. It is everyone's job. Anybody can start doing it, and somebody has to do it, so it might as well start with you and me. So in conclusion, let me simply quote Jesus Christ. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them.